There Are Politics. We're talking about Afghanistan right now with Jamal Hassan. Jamal has a book out entitled Promises Betrayed. Very, very interesting book, as Jim said in the last segment. You can pick this book up from Amazon. Jimmy, take over, bud.
Yeah, so Jamal, this the notion and the understanding by the American people is very different than actually the realities on the ground and kind of the changing momentum over two decades of involvement with NATO forces, with American forces, but most importantly with Afghans evolving into a sense of actually somewhat of identity and kind of breaking the historical chains. And the progress was slow, but it was moving in the right direction. And all of a sudden that stopped. And I think my question to you is, you worked in Resolute Support headquarters, you worked in ISAF headquarters in Herat with the Italians. I was there with, at some point, probably around the same time you were there, down in Balabaluk and Farah province. And then you see this massive training mission, the expansion of a military force, but something happened towards the end there of in the springtime with the Taliban offensive, and the U.S. and NATO forces just sat back and watched the Taliban take over positions. Why do you think that happened?
Well, the improvement you can see both in the military part of the Afghan forces and in the civilian part of the Afghan government. Since 2014 and up to 2021, all the security was maintained only and solely by the Afghan forces. We had a 300,000 Afghan force that included special forces, and the special forces included Afghan women, which is not something that you can find in our neighboring countries, in Pakistan, India, in Tajikistan, Central Asian countries. So that was we had a solid, strong force. And what was necessary for them was the support from the international community, from the U.S. Military, the air support, the contractors that maintain the air assets of the Afghan forces. And on the civilian part, we had, just to give you some examples, we had over 6 million girls going to school. And now all those girls are at home. None of them can go to school. We had so many achievements that it will take hours to explain all of them. And when the negotiations with the Taliban began, and then slowly, especially under the current administration, the tide changed towards the Taliban. The current administration favored the Taliban over the Afghan forces. And since the beginning of 2021, they withdrew the critical support to the Afghan forces. They did not provide the proper ammunition that were needed. And the Afghan military, the Afghan police, they fought until the very last day. But unfortunately, because you cannot fight two enemies at the same time along an ally that you think is an ally, but is not an ally actually, that's when things fell apart. Until the very last day, the Afghan forces thought that the U.S. military was there as an ally of the Afghan people, while in practice, they were favoring the Taliban. And you cannot believe this. When the fall of Kabul was completed, the senior Taliban leaders were brought in a U.S. military airplane from Qatar to Kabul. So everything was going in the right direction until the current U.S. administration started to favor Taliban more than the Afghan people.
You know, Jamil, that's actually consistent with what Biden had said as vice president publicly, that the Taliban was not the enemy in his mind. And I was actually involved. I was at the NATO summit in 2012 in Chicago with a NATO partner member when Obama actually was trying to plan the exit strategy and walk away and leave the Afghan people at that time. And of course, it was a very problematic period, but you know, we had seen such great changes and so many positive momentum, and there was so much investment by Western by NATO allies. And that's not just NATO. It was actually 52 members of the coalition that were involved in actually helping stabilize the region. And we actually came to that point under General McChrystal and then followed on by General Petraeus. But then walking away that quickly, walking away by 2014 and leaving a very small force there, not doing anything, my son first deployed to Helmand province in 2016, in the last few months of the Obama administration, and could take no action, even though Taliban were far attacking his positions. And at the same time, you have this training mission, this dual problem that says, oh, we're going to train and equip, but we're not going to support. It didn't make any sense. Things changed in 2017. With kind of a fight to win policy and then a more proactive role. And that's what I think it's important for people to understand. It didn't take a large NATO or allied or U.S. force to do the very minor military actions in order to support Afghan forces to keep them strong and in the battlefield. Logistics, training, and then air support. And when that walked away, it, in my view, it was incredibly damaging for Afghan military forces. And of course, with the NSOC, the National Special Operations Unified Command that I actually worked with, made it very tough. And it seems to me that you combine that military problem and then walk away from the very positive civilian things that were happening there. And we talked off mic a little bit about the October 2018 elections and all the hope that was there. It made it very, very, very painful process to watch for those that served there, and I'm sure for the millions of Afghans that saw hope on the horizon. What are your feelings about the people that are left and what happened right with this, and what will their feelings be in the future about other folks?
Yeah, Jamal, before I answer that question, I want to ask you perhaps a bit of a simpler question, although it's along the same lines, and that is, I personally feel that America left the Afghanis holding the bag, for lack of better terms. What is the general impression of America today among the Afghanistan people?
Well, there are certainly lots of issues to be clear. First, it was not an Afghan war. The U.S. was not attacked on 9/11 by the Afghan people. It was Al-Qaeda who were hiding, who were trained in Pakistan. Generally, the Democrat presidents and the Democrat administration here in the U.S., they always favored Pakistan or Afghanistan. Where was Osama bin Laden killed? Where was the Taliban leader killed? In Pakistan, but no action was taken against Pakistan. And until the very last moment, the U.S. generals advised President Biden to leave at least 2,500 troops in Afghanistan to safeguard the U.S. embassy and the achievements of the past 20 years in case the Taliban break their promises, which he decided against that.
And I just want to make it sure that I just want to follow up with that. And that is under congressional testimony by the Central Command commander and the theater commander, General Miller. Go ahead.
Exactly. And the general perception view in Afghanistan is that the U.S. betrayed Afghan people twice. First, when they left the Afghan Mujahideen alone, when they defeated the Soviets and they withdrew all support, and that's when the civil war in Afghanistan began, because there was no one to manage them, to control them with all these millions of dollars and thousands of millions of weapons there. And then now, despite all the 20 years of achievements, the Afghan people were again betrayed by the U.S. So the Afghan people see the U.S. As a partner that cannot be trusted anymore. And it's not only about Afghanistan. We can look at the world state. Why was Ukraine attacked by Russia? Because Russia thought that since the U.S. did not stay with its main ally in the war on terror, Afghanistan, it would certainly do not defend Ukraine, and that's when they attacked Ukraine. So now it's China threatening Taiwan. The other day or tomorrow, it will be Japan and South Korea thinking of other replacements for the U.S. as its ally. And look at Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia king does not answer Biden's phone. So what does that send? It sent a clear message that the world does not trust President Biden and the U.S. under President Biden as a trustable ally and as a leader of the free world.
Yes, and Jamal, we're going to have to end it here. We've only got a few seconds left. Your points are very well taken and understood by, I think, people here on these radio stations. So we thank you very much. Promise Betrayal, Jamil Hassan. Please take a look at his book on Amazon.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.